Grow Great, the podcast, episode 4030. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Grow Great. You can find the show notes and all kinds of free resources at the website, growgreat.com. Today, it's about gratitude's role on leadership. Leadership is never identical because, well, as people, we're all different. Even identical twins aren't identical in how they think, how they communicate, how they view the world. There's no telling how many books I have read on leadership or how many hours of conversation and tons of questions that I have engaged in to learn more about leadership. For as long as I can remember, I have wanted to unlock the keys to being a great leader. My early fascination with it wasn't because I so much aspired to it. That would come later. It was mostly about wanting to understand how a leader could influence the outcome. And it was probably born because, like you, when I went to work as a kid, I didn't always have the very best boss in the world. I mostly learned how to not do it. And so I was very intrigued by the stories that I read and the anecdotal evidence that I seem to find of leaders who seem to do it so much better than the people that I managed to find myself working for. I remember reading about how effective some tyrants like Harold Janine were. And I would get somewhat depressed because, I mean, how could a bad guy be effective? And when I was young, I wanted to think that the only best leaders, the most effective leaders, they were the most well-behaved. I mean, I wanted to believe that being good, being morally upright, those things paid off in the executive suite when it came to being effective in business. Today, I would still like to believe that, but I know that it's not true. Truth is, bad people can be effective leaders if we measure only results. And lots of people do that. Effective leadership can come at the hands of evil, ill-behaving men. As I record this, in the news has been Roger Ailes, CEO of Fox News. I don't care where you are politically on the spectrum or how you feel about Fox News or Mr. Ailes in particular. I was in journalism school and remember reading some things by this guy who was clearly an effective communicator, knew the nuances, especially of mass communication. And there's little doubt about his prowess. I don't know the truth of all these sexual harassment allegations, but he's out. He's out, no longer the head of Fox News. It would appear there are people pointing fingers at his ill behavior. Now, I'm not suggesting that we do that. I'm not suggesting that we be poorly behaved. I just simply acknowledge that it can happen, that bad people, ill behaving people can lead ridiculously successful organizations. Over the long haul, better leadership will prevail, somebody once said to me. Over the long haul, better leadership will prevail. I was in my early 20s. He was in his 60s, the man who said that to me. I wanted to believe him, but I was skeptical at the time. And now here I sit, a few decades later, and I know he was wrong. No, I'm still not wavering in my convictions that the very best leaders produce results by being a positive influence on the lives of the people they lead. And I'll go you one better. And not only those people, but on the people they serve. And they serve people inside as well as outside the organization. That context is important. It's important for today's show because our subject is not one that's embraced by all leaders. Not even all effective leaders. But I've never met a single effective leader who agreed with my convictions who did not devote themselves or herself to the practice. And as tempting as it may be to join the ranks of the autocrats, you know, those people that rule over their enterprise with a vice grip kind of control, it's not the best course, in my opinion, because I think being a good person matters. I think it impacts people's lives for good. I think it shows people the way. And Thanksgiving is a major building block for effective good guy leadership. So let's talk about being true to our course, or the course that we most want to pursue. I don't know where you are in your career. Maybe you are just starting out. Maybe you're early, still trying to figure out who you are as a leader. Maybe you're well into the curve and you think that you have mostly got it figured out. Or maybe you're coming out of a curve and you pretty much know it all and you're coming to terms with how little you know. It really doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you are as long as you're still in the game. I'm encouraging you to assume that service is at the heart of leadership. Not everybody agrees with that. Yeah, we can all cite examples of miserable people who effectively led wildly successful organizations. I'm going to tell you, don't get distracted by their example. And don't think that tyranny is the way to go. Instead, let me challenge you to consider another possibility. What if they were effective not because of their tyranny, but in spite of it? Right? We often attribute the brilliance of Steve Jobs to his mania without regard to people. Right? He was just a monomaniac. He was on a mission. He didn't care who he stepped on. He didn't care who he squashed along the way. And we attribute his brilliance, his genius, in part to that behavior. I'm just supposing, what if Steve Jobs found wild success in spite of that poor behavior? What if you're drawing the correlation that that bad behavior created his genius? But what if you're wrong? What if he'd behaved better toward people? Could he have pushed people as hard, maybe harder, if he had been able to show better appreciation? We'll never know. We'll never know. I'd like to think it's possible. Now, unfortunately, we look at such characters and we attribute their success to their tyrannical behavior. And yet that's not necessarily the reason for their success. It's just as easy to assume that they may have achieved even greater success if they had behaved with more grace. Maybe not. We'll never know. All we can do is roll the best way that we know and go in a way that's true to who we are and who we most want to be. I'm optimistic that you want to be a force for good in the lives of the people in your company or organization and in the lives of the people that your company or your organization serves. I'm hopeful that you want to produce spectacular results by building remarkable people. That may not be true, but that's the assumption that I'm making. Remarkable, dazzling, those are two words that I latched onto when I was in my 20s running a company. And for good reason. I was grateful for the opportunity to operate a company at such a young age. And by that point, I had a decade or more of experience working for a variety of leaders, as I said earlier, most of whom were not my vision of ideal. In fact, many of them didn't spend any time developing people or even looking for ways to help people elevate their performance. And so I was intent on first building an organization, which meant I wanted to build an environment that fostered ongoing continuous improvement in the individual performance of people so that together the team's performance could soar. My thought was really simple. If I can help Joe and Bill and Jane and Mary, if I can help all of them elevate their own individual performance, they're all the members of the same organization, same team. If all of their individual performance goes up, then the team performance is bound to go up. I was in the luxury retailing business, which meant that our service had to be extraordinary every single time. But the genesis of it all was gratitude. My own gratitude stemmed from a sense of responsibility to do great work for the company by serving the employees and then the customers. I don't think we should undervalue the power of obligations, the power of responsibility. More powerful still, I think, is the gratitude that we should feel and that we should acknowledge. Gratitude. It provokes service. And service is at the heart of quality leadership. But gratitude serves one fundamental driver that really is the focus of today's show. This one fundamental driver that can fuel leadership like nothing else. You ready for it? Adaptability. Adaptability. Leaders who approach work with a single focus on what they want, concentrating only on imposing their will, they're stuck in their thinking. They're stuck in their approach. They're stuck in their creativity. Now, they may be like Steve Jobs, and they may be ridiculously creative, but it's still stuck. Leaders who remain focused on their blessings with a sense of thanksgiving and gratitude necessarily understand a bigger picture, because that's what gratitude does for us. Gratitude kind of puts us in our place, and it makes us understand that the universe isn't going to bend to our every will, and we're okay with that. Rather, gratitude compels us to consider how we can most benefit those people that we lead. We see a bigger picture. We see a picture where all the team members fit together to accomplish what might otherwise go undone. And when a team member is out of place, when a team member misbehaves, we've got no problem confronting that poor behavior, that poor performance, because we're grateful for the team and we're not going to allow the team to be harmed by one renegade. I've been watching this audience channel. If you're a subscriber to DirecTV, it's 239 on DirecTV. It is an original DirecTV series called My Fighting Life, and it's about the soldiers serving, at least the ones that I've seen, it's about the soldiers serving in Afghanistan. I'll warn you, the language is obviously crude. I mean, come on, these are soldiers on battlefield. The video is all produced by the helmet cams from the soldiers themselves, which makes it, you know, the point of view is, it's pretty remarkable. And over, we hear these young men talk about the power of serving in a deployment in Afghanistan. And maybe the deployment was for 9 months, 11 months. And maybe they're in the service for 4 years or 6 years. Mere months of a deployment and how it bonds them to their brothers in arms. And when it's all over and they return home, they mostly say the same thing that you hear professional athletes in team sports. You hear professional athletes in team sports make the same comment. Sure, they miss the game, they miss the action, they miss the adrenaline, but mostly they miss the camaraderie. Mostly they miss being part of a unit. Mostly they miss being part of something that's bigger with a purpose. They miss the locker room. They miss the guys. They miss the teamwork. Being grateful is good. It's valuable. Yeah, I'm going to argue today, it's right. I know we live in a day and age where there is no right, there is no wrong, it just is. Well, I don't agree with that. There is right, there is wrong, and being grateful is right. Not being grateful is wrong. But it also serves leaders to consider different approaches, to morph our ideas and our creativity based on those that we serve and on the outcome that's being pursued. And that adaptability has enormous benefits in the market. Gratitude helps leaders with external feedback. You know, besides being grateful for the things and the people inside the organization, good leaders are grateful for the market that they serve. If today you are not grateful for your customers, I feel for you. Customers are people too. And behind every purchase order, behind every invoice paid, is a human being that is served. Great leadership never forgets that. Gratitude for and toward customers provides fast, valuable feedback that no focus group can ever match. I mean, come on, when the CEO or the top leader is plugged into their own gratitude, their teammates, those internal people that they serve, and their customers or the market and their potential customers, they're going to be tough to compete against. They're just going to be tough to compete against because they are so connected to it. They're going to get a read so much faster than the ungrateful CEO. It's more than being a good person. It's smart. It's wise. In practical terms, it's fast and it's agile because the connectivity with people provides direction that the ungrateful leader will never recognize. And if they do, it'll be only because they saw it too late. There it is, episode 4030. Keeping them short, keeping them sweet. I hope you'll visit the website. GrowGreat.com is the website. I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast. That's my call to action. My name is Randy Cantrell, coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. Thanks for listening. Share the podcast with a friend. Till next time, see ya.